Welcome to Language of God. I'm your host, Jim Stump. Today we're starting something new on the podcast, bonus episodes. This mini-series will help bridge the gap while you wait for Season 2's release at the end of this summer. These shorter episodes will focus on stories we didn't get to address in a full-length episode, but we feel are interesting and important. Our media intern, Nate Mulder, has today's episode.
Often the beauty of the world around us falls on tired eyes. With endless clamoring demands for our attention, it's all too easy to lose sight of the glory of God's creation. As an antidote, we want to offer a fresh perspective on the world, highlighting the plants, creatures, and ecosystems which inspire wonder. This brand of wonder is contagious, one which can recharge our appreciation for the universe. We bring you a new feature of the show, which we call Cool Creations, where we hear from scientists, theologians, anyone we come across who has the story of a cool creature that has brought inspiration.
I can actually remember probably the first time that I was just awestruck by something in nature.
One of the benefits of working in the natural sciences is that it consistently confronts you with the intricacies of life. Ryan Beebe, a biology professor at Kelvin College, recalls how a confrontation like this sparked a lifelong fascination.
I'm a scientist now, but I didn't really grow up all that interested in science. And it wasn't until like high school and college that I really probably started to get excited about science and interested in it. And it was a course I took in college where I heard about walking whales for the first time. And these were fossil whales about, 45, 50 million years old that some scientists had discovered that actually had four legs and were walking around on land and swimming at the same time. And I had never really considered that whales might have evolved from something that had lived on land before. And so I was just completely fascinated by this idea and read about it in an article for the first time, but then had a chance to take a field trip to a museum and actually see some of these fossils. And because we knew some of the folks there, I actually got to hold some of these fossils in my hand and just being completely awestruck that these things had existed at one point in time. And really it was, hearing about those things and seeing them at the museum that inspired me to go into the field of paleontology. And strangely enough, ended up working on fossil whales for my research ever since then.
For biologist Jeff Schloss, elephants give him a reason to marvel.
My favorite creature, I would have to say the elephant. They're just so big and blundery, and on the one hand comic, on the one hand magisterial. They're so smart. They can learn really sophisticated behaviors, including learning to cooperate with one another in very complex tasks, things that I wouldn't have guessed and things that have just been illuminated within the last few years. They form lifelong attachments. There's friendships between elephants and dogs and elephants and other creatures, where they visit one another when they're sick. There are accounts of elephants tending the dead. Almost looks like funeral services. There are accounts, one account of a teenage elephant who kept vigil over the corpse of its mother for days on end that had been killed by poachers, then came back daily, then came back weekly. This went on for a number of years until there was nothing but cranial bones left, and the elephant would still come back. There's something really, really amazing about elephants. I love them and I'm glad God made them.
But animals are not the only features of creation which deserve our admiration. Plants also live bearing the marks of intricate design.
So one system in ecology that we've been studying for decades and that I still get excited about consists of a single tree species, quaking aspen, and the whole array of herbivores that feed on it.
This is Rick Lindroth, professor of ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Like Dr. Beebe, his work has inspired an appreciation for the creation he studies.
So quaking aspen has, it's just really special in a number of ways. It's the most widely distributed tree species in all of North America. It's clonal, so that means it grows like strawberries. You can have one single organism that's interconnected by roots below ground that can be acres in size. In fact, the single largest organism on Earth is a clone of aspen in southern Utah. It's highly genetically variable. Any two individual aspen trees are about as genetically related as our humans to chimpanzees, even though they're the same species. And it's highly responsive to environmental perturbations, whether that is growing at under high levels of CO2, as we're anticipating in the future, or under high light or low light, or with damage by herbivores or not.
The world is full of diverse and complex life, like the quaking aspen. But not all of us are scientists. Some of us don't see this level of complexity just by looking at our planet. For people like us, interacting with experts can help ignite our awe. These encounters help open our eyes to the wonderful oddity of life on Earth. Campus minister Kate Vosburgh describes how a birding expedition offered a new way for her to marvel at creation.
Most recently, a friend of mine took me birding. Now, I'd never been birding. I know there are birds, and I've occasionally appreciated them. But he is a fanatic about birding and was passing on that love to me and my kids on this short, you know, just two-hour birding expedition. And birds are something I take for granted, but are really amazing. Like, one of the facts about birds is that they have two different sets of vocal cords, one on each lung, and so they can actually sing two different notes at the same time, which most birds don't, but there are some birds that do. And some birds only use one vocal cord for their whole life. Some use different ones at different times. And I'd never understood that about birds, right? And so then I started listening to some of the bird songs, and he was pointing out some of the places where it's a single-noted song versus a double-noted song.
What Kate is talking about is biphonation, two pitches sung at the same time. A voice box called a syrinx is what allows some birds to sing this way. One common bird with this ability is the wood thrush. The syrinx is located deeper in the bird's chest, splitting into two channels which connect to their lungs. These two channels are what account for the two different pitches ringing in a single call.
It was just amazing, the beauty and complexity in birds, which I've never just stopped enough to understand. And it's right there, right? I mean, like, I walk out my front door and see if I could only see, right? And so it just takes the time and the appreciation. And so it's made me just realize how much beauty and complexity I just don't see, because I walk past it every day and I don't know enough to look for it. And I'm not curious enough or patient enough to see it.
Often the beautiful intricacy of creation hides inside of our ignorance. It waits to be uncovered by our understanding. Cornell Professor of Biomedical Sciences Praveen Sethupathi describes how science can do this for us, how it gradually unveils the great complexity of being.
So I am in a state of awe on a regular basis, right? And it's because when we find answers to some of the questions that we're asking in the lab, it always turns out to be more complicated, more nuanced, more context-specific than we had ever previously appreciated, right? And so we're in the business of peeling back layers of complexity, but it never seems to end, right? It's like layer upon layer upon layer of complexity, and all those layers are talking to each other, right? To create what we know as the organisms that we study, whether it's a human being or the animal models that we use. And so I am in awe on a regular basis of how much more complex and nuanced life is than we generally give it credit.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of Language of God. We're hard at work on season 2 this summer and can't wait to bring you great conversations with some exciting guests, including Pastor John Ortberg, host of the On Being show Krista Tippett, and many others. Subscribe to Language of God where you find podcasts to get new episodes as soon as they are released. We've also got 12 episodes in season 1 that are available now on our website or iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Language of God is produced by BioLogos, It has been funded in part by the John Templeton Foundation and more than 300 individuals who donated to our crowdfunding campaign. Language of God is produced and mixed by Colin Hugerwerf, with additional production assistance by Truthworks Media. Our theme song is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Thanks for listening.